commitment to Him. So, okay, let us turn one more time again now to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 38 through 41. 2 Kings, talking about death in the pot, and I want to make one more application. One more application of this story. Next Wednesday night, we'll be honored to have Gary and Claudia Heppen with us, missionaries to Germany, the military in Germany. I believe Claudia is German. And we have a great military presence in Germany, and not a lot for their souls. And so they'll be here next Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, they're going to be at Countryside. They're staying out there in our facilities. And he'll be speaking out there tomorrow night during the 6:30 service. Then back here next Wednesday. And then a week from Saturday, he'll be our speaker at Men's Breakfast. So hope you'll pray for Brother Gary. That God will use him amongst us and get him to Germany. Death in the pot. The story begins in 2 Kings 4, verses 38 through 41. We're going to read it one more time. It says, "And Elijah came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot, and see the pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof of wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, Then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot." Now, the key to understanding this story is that fellow that went out to gather the wild gourds, at the end of verse 39, it says they knew them not. He was ignorant. He didn't intentionally try to hurt anybody. He was just ignorant. And ignorance will cause us to hurt people. And so we ought to know some stuff. We ought to learn some things. And so we want to look at this story again. Of course, Elijah is the man of God, and there's the sons of the prophets, a bunch of young men sitting around, the dearth. There wasn't much food or water around, but he instructed them to put the big pot on and see the pottage for the sons of the prophets, so they were going to eat some kind of a soup or stew or something. And one went out into the field. He didn't know what he was doing, verse 39. Meant well. Thought he was even serving. Thought he was caring, probably. But in the process of gathering up from the wild vine, he found wild gourds, which were poisonous. And he began to shred them into the pot. And when he poured it out for the men to eat, and they were all partaking of that poisonous pottage, and they realized it would cause their death. And so they were saved by the advice of Elijah in verse 41. Then bring meal. And meal in verse 41 is a picture of the Word of God. It's a picture of the Bible. The Bible can fix anything. And the Bible can heal anything. Even things that are done in ignorance. So, the first week we just explained the story. The second week we applied it to the church and things that people are shredding into the pottage of the church that is poisoning people and killing churches, such as the music of our day. And also we talked about last week many of the perverted Bibles that are full of poison and false doctrine and deletions and changes, and how that people who are very, very sincere are bringing that kind of music into the church. They're just ignorant. And people who are very, very sincere are bringing those kind of versions into the Bible, but they're ignorant. of the poison and the death that is in those musics, that music and the death that are in those Bibles. And they're serving it up to everybody. And there's poison in the pot, and we have all this compromise and churches closing just by the gazillions. It's unbelievable how many churches are closing, even good fundamental churches, good what were once evangelical churches, there's just no more. And people are still scratching their heads trying to figure out what happened. Still trying to bring that kind of music and Bibles into the church. And so we made that application last week. Now today I want to talk about the home, and we want to picture the pot in the story as the home. And people who are going out and gathering things and bringing these things into their homes and shredding them into the pot, and everybody in the family is eating this stuff, and it is poisoning them, poisoning their souls, and killing families. So we'll give you some examples of these wild gourds. And maybe some of these have been shredded up and served up in your house. And something is killing our kids. And something is killing our young people. And we see it painfully. And so let's take a look at this humbly and honestly tonight. Now before we do, I got a few verses that some of you can look up and volunteer, and when we get to them, if you could read them out loud, that would keep us awake. 1 Corinthians 15:33 would be the first one, Brother Kelly. Exodus 23:2, Calvin. Numbers 33:52, Brother Mike. Numbers 33:52. And Romans 13:14, Barb. Jeremiah 10:2. Jeremiah 10:2, I think, is the last one, Brother Frank. And, let's see over here, Sean. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Did I give that one away? You got it. Oh, okay. Well, how about you look up, do Romans 6:23. You can probably quote that. And then I'll also have you read Romans 8:6, and we'll get started with that here right away. Just in general, there are certain things that cause death. And when this verse that we all know talks about death, it doesn't mean you're going to physically drop dead when you do this. But it means that that spiritual vitality that is in us, that abundant life that Christ wants to give us, is going to be killed. It's going to die. We're still going to be saved, but we're not going to be spiritual. So read Romans 6:23, Sean. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I know we use that as a soul-winning verse, and it is a good one, but in the context, it's talking to believers living carnally. Romans 8:6. Sin brings death. What else brings death? Romans 8:6. Okay, the carnal mind brings death to the believer in Christ, and kills the life that's in them, the spiritual life that's in them, in its vitality. So James says, "Blessed is the man," chapter 1:12, "that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." That's nice. What a promise! Crown of life for those who endure temptation, not those who give in to it, but those who endure it and resist it. Verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." It's a good verse to know, because a lot of people blame God for all the evil that's in the world. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust." So sin, the carnal mind, and now lust. His own lust, and enticed, that's the devil working. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." So don't err, or don't think, well, I can get away with it. It's not going to hurt me, it's not going to harm me, it's not going to kill my spiritual life, but it will. And pretty soon that fervency, that love, that desire we once had for the Bible is gone, for prayer is gone, for church is gone, for singing is gone, for soul winning is gone. And we're wondering what happened to us. These things killed us. But let's be a little bit more specific now regarding the home. Regarding the home. Here's some things that are wild gourds that have been shredded up and served in the pot of our homes. If we could have read 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. All right. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I shared this example out of my life. Don't want to, but maybe it'll serve as a warning or a help to somebody. I remember my brother George, and I love him. God bless him. He was a great influence on my life. Just out to dinner with him last night. But George worked at Kmart. He used to hitchhike and go to Kmart every day and work. And one day he saved up enough money to bring home an FM radio. I mean, that was advanced. We had AM radios, but he brought home an FM radio. And he brought it into the house. Remember that for a little bit later in the sermon. He brought it into the house. And if you know anything about the FM dial, it's almost all satanic. And for the first time in my life, I began to subject my ears, because I shared a bedroom with George. And I subjected my ears to rock and roll music. Very, very, very extremely powerful medium. And we talked about music last week and the powerful medium that it is. In fact, Plato, he was a little bit smarter than some of these contemporary pastors who say that all music is amoral, some of these pastors nowadays. God loves it all. Plato said that a new music introduced into society should be shunned as imperiling the state. That's what he said. He knew. He knew it wasn't amoral. He knew that that kind of music would imperil the state. Aristotle said, music represents the passions of the soul. If you listen to the wrong type of music, you become the wrong type of person. Aristotle. Again, Plato, Aristotle know more than some of these contemporary pastors today and so-called worship leaders. Jimi Hendrix said, music is a spiritual thing. I think he died when he was 27 of a drug overdose, something around that age, maybe older. Music is a spiritual thing. You can hypnotize people with music. When you get them at their weakest point, you can preach into the subconscious what you want to say. Vladimir Lenin, well, he's a real friend of Christianity. He's a friend of your home. No, he's not. He said, one quick way to destroy a society is through its music. It's a shame that these people knew more than a lot of the preachers do today in churches. And today we're giving in to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Time magazine, way back in 1969, said, in a sense, all rock is revolutionary. By its very beat and sound, it has always implicitly rejected restraints and has celebrated freedom and sexuality. Of course, Frank Garlock, our dear beloved brother, good man, said the emphasis of most contemporary sacred and secular music is on rhythm. Rhythm is that part of music which elicits a physical response. Therefore, most of today's music, secular and sacred, feeds and satisfies the self-seeking, self-centered, and self-worshipping part of man. I didn't know what happened to me back in those days. But all of a sudden, a spirit of rebellion came over me towards all authority. Towards my pastor, towards my dad, towards my stepmom, towards teachers in school. And towards the government. And pretty soon I was on a long journey away from God following that music. Like, if you ever seen rock concerts or that kind of music, people just follow like ants. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Corrupt good manners. You can have a good-mannered man, a good-mannered lady, and evil communications can corrupt them, and then you're scratching your head. Like, what happened to them? Well, what kind of music are we allowing in our homes? What kind of music are we playing in our cars or in our earbuds? Maybe earbuds are a thing of the past. I'm always the last one to know this stuff. But I still thought people listened to CDs. But it is demonic. And Satan knows it. Satan knows that music is an extremely powerful medium. And is he using it today? He's using it in society, he's using it in churches, and he's using it in our families, in our individual lives. You know, you never know what people are listening to these days that is changing them. And we see churches, like we said last week, following the multitude and people, and people say, well, everybody's listening to it. Somebody read for us, please, if you could, Exodus 23 and verse number 2.
Thou shalt not follow a woman to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in accost a fine after many to rest judgment.
The first part of that verse says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Now, God said that in the law because he knew there would be times when multitudes would be doing evil. And it would just be kind of natural and almost winked on and say, well, I'm, you know, just like everybody else. We have got to really question everything. And even a multitude, and it says, though hand join in hand, they shall not be unpunished. And so if a multitude's doing this and everybody says it's right, it doesn't necessarily mean it is. And it says, thou shalt not follow them. Pornography is in our society as a plague. Millions of sites in the world on the internet. It has become so dehumanizing that in the Sword of the Lord magazine a few issues ago, there was a report about some of the major credit card companies, I don't even remember which ones, who won't even do business with pornographic websites anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen. That they would take a stand and say, look, we don't even want to help exchange people's money who are buying this kind of stuff. And that'd be wonderful, I think, if every credit card company would pull out of that. But what does it say in Numbers 33... and verse 52.
Then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you, destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite put down all their idols.
I don't know what kind of pictures they had, but God said destroy them. Destroy all their pictures. And That's a good verse to live by today. We have to watch what is going in through the eye gate and through the ear gate. And I know it seems like society is developing in a way where smartphones and laptops are necessary, I guess, to do business. But those smartphones and laptops and computer access can be a gateway to a very dark side of the world that you would never even know existed, except those things can come up, or just in general. And how do you control them when you put them into the hands of curious youth? How do you control? I guess there's ways. Some of you know that a whole lot better than I do. But the youth of today are having problems with pornography. It's wild gourds being shredded and served up and even allowed in our homes. Books, evil books, books that are introducing our children to New Age religions and witchcraft and sorcery. And all in the name of reading.
Right.
Yeah. That's the excuse.
Yeah.
Many parents say, well, at least they're reading something. So let's shred up some wild gourds and let's let them eat that. And and the world is kicking out books that are just fascinating our children, grabbing their minds. And, most of the kids aren't wrecked by them, but some kids it does lead them into idolatry and superstition and far away from God and into this delusional world like they're going to have superpowers or something. And they're not. They're going to die like men is what the Bible says. And they are just off in an imaginary world. Abraham Lincoln said, you will be the same person you are 1 year from now, except for the books you read and the people you meet. Well, he would say a whole lot more than that today, because there's so many more influences today than just books and people. But books and magazines do profoundly promote the evil and suppress the spiritual. And they do not lead our youth to Christ. Although we can try to get them literature. Turn to Jeremiah 7, everybody. If you could turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. All kinds of things are being shredded, wild gourds, and served up in our homes. A lot of times by well-meaning parents. Well-meaning parents. And here's a text that has an interesting statement in it. Jeremiah 7, verse 17. The Bible says this. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? Question mark. Now this is supposed to be God's people here, Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 18: The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Verse 20. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, and upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, and shall not be quenched. What idolatry and superstition. There is no Queen of Heaven. And all these gods that they brought into their houses were false gods. They didn't even exist. Somebody just made them up in their minds, and they began to worship them rather than the true God. And this reminds me a lot, I think, of the fantasy. I mean, a person can literally, from the womb to the tomb, live in a fantasy world today. By the stuff they see on television, movies and books and video games and never encounter reality. Never once encounter the claims of Christ. Or his miracles or prophecies or his resurrection from the dead. Never consider that at all. They're just involved in fantasy. But how does it start? I want you to notice a little phrase in verse 18. The children gather wood. Who brings it into the house? The children gather wood. And that is often the way the devil gets into the homes, is through the children. Watch out what the children bring into the house. Or what all the other children bring into their houses and then try to shame your children into being like them. And that's how it usually works. Everybody else in school has this app, video game. whatever it was back in the days of cartoons and endless stuffed animals and all kinds of things, Beanie Babies. Remember those things? And pretty soon the Christian child is thinking, all the other children have this. And then they want it brought, and a lot of parents will capitulate and say, yeah, I want my child to have everything everyone else has, even though it may be evil. Or grounded in something that's evil, even fantasy. And a lot of times it's, well, you know, my kids wanted it. My kids wanted it. And all the other kids have it. And some of you can remember battles maybe trying to homeschool or something. And somebody found out you didn't have a television. Wow, they just thought you were just a despicable monster. Why would you keep that from your children? What is the matter with you? And there's a lot of pressure. Every Christmas, Santa Claus tries to wipe Christ out of every Christmas. Every time. And people laugh at that kind of stuff. But for us, homeschooling meant no sports. They couldn't be involved in sports. They couldn't be involved in BOCES and learn to trade. They couldn't. It was a... And there was constant pressure. Some things are brought into the homes unknowingly through different means. You know, a kid just walks into your house. The kids gather the wood, right? They just come in with books. God got this at the library, and it might be filled with something satanic. Internet can be useful. TV, magazines, cartoons. Man, I forgot to pass these out. They got one about Nickelodeon and all the shows now that are promoting the woke culture and the transgendered culture and the homosexual culture in all the cartoons now. Some for the first time. And our children, that we could bring that in the home. The children bring, can I watch this? Romans 13:14. Somebody has that, if you could read for us, please. Romans 13:14. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make no provision. So it's tough being a parent today, but those that are here, those that are listening to this ever, if you could homeschool or send your kid to a Christian school, I know it's going to cost a lot of money, but it's not a sacrifice, it's an investment. And it's a good investment to try to keep them away from some of that stuff. But boy, what a world it is. Jeremiah 10:2. Learn not the way of the heathen. Learn not the way of the heathen. That's what the Lord said. Learn not the way of the heathen. And this is a call tonight for separation, but we got to realize that this is like shredding up wild gourds and serving it to our families. And I know that it's difficult. I understand that. To catch it all, but boy, you have to really be on your guard. You have to keep your guard up today, and with your grandchildren too. TV, Lester Roloff used to call it the blue hue of the television. He says everywhere you drive by at night, you'll see in a window the blue hue of the television. He used to call it like it was. And I remember when they used to sell televisions this big. And that was the thing, to buy one of those, and you could have it in your room. and people wouldn't know what you're watching. But now it's not like that. Now there's a competition on, you know, how big, you know, can you make it, and can you fill up your whole wall with it? They're so big. And boy, it's evil. It's demonic. You know, the very little that I ever see, just the commercials are demonic. The commercials for movies they've come out with are demonic and barbaric and monstrous. And they almost, you almost think that when you read some of the descriptions of the devils in the book of Revelation, what they look like and how hideous they look like. And here they're coming out in these movies. You got to watch this newest movie or something. And they're morphing into all these just evil like animals and stuff. That has to be inspired by Satan in the mind of a human, and then put into their movies, into their books, into their magazines, into their video games. And the television addiction and the smartphone addiction, I think the smartphone addiction is the greatest one in our country today. There's just look at the people walking around with them. It just breaks your heart. But boy, we're up against it. And so what's the alternative? In closing, in verse 41 of our text, which is 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 11, I do believe that there is a power on earth we can introduce in our homes that can purge a lot of this out of us. And as the prophet said, verse 41, but he said, then bring meal, M-E-A-L, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And brethren, the meal is a picture of the Word of God, the Holy Bible, the King James Bible. And so whatever has poisoned you in your past, the Bible can help you. Whatever has poisoned your mind, I could give you, unfortunately, testimonies from my own life of how much the Bible has helped to restore a right mind to me. And it helps us control our eyes and our ears, and it eliminates the poison. And when you get the poison out of you, you start feeling better spiritually, more alive again, rather than death. And so we got to get the Bible back into our families. Maybe you have the Bible, but everybody in your family should be a Bible reader when they're able to read the Bible, all of us. It has a cleansing effect. Jesus said, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In John 15 and verse 3, in the old colander illustration or the strainer illustration I've used before, that if you take a strainer or a colander and you put your dirty vegetables in there that you're going to eat and you run water through it, it does not retain the water, but it takes the dirt out as it's flowing through. And when you read the Bible, you cannot retain everything you're reading, but it cleanses you as it's running through you. And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. And so every one of us needs to have the Bible. That's the meal. The prophet said, then bring meal. And he cast the meal into the poison pot, and it fixed it. We can fix our family still. We can recover our families. I saw my dad do it. I saw his effort to help us boys and how much the Word of God began to work in us. So I'll just close by saying, too, that we have helps over here. They're not as good as the Bible, but they lead you to the Bible. And we're getting more and more of them for the family and for marriage. And this is going to be like our resource center over here for family and marriage, all kinds of books, and I'll start explaining some of them. We do have this one here. It's a daily devotional for children. It's called Have Ye Not Read? Daily devotional for kids. And there's a devotion for every day. And there's illustrations. It's kid-friendly. There's pictures. And it tells them what scriptures to look up. Now, Like this one says, Numbers 11 through 13. Well, they're not going to read three chapters out of Numbers in one day. But that's the reference to answer these questions. And they can find, it says Numbers 11, 13. Questions from text, chapter 11. Who was buried at Kibroth Hattaavah? Well, verse 34 gives the answer, so the kid looks it up. Chapter 12, who is described as very meek, verse 3. Chapter 13, 10 spies brought back an blank report of the land, verse 32. And then there's a little thing for them to do, and this would be good if your kids can read, to get these for everyone. If you have grandkids, maybe when they come over to the house, can't do it all, but that date. And just a lot of good suggestions, good stories. And it might foster conversations with your kids to get them out of this world. But wow, are we up against it. Man alive. And it just seems like the days of what prophecy calls strong delusion. Strong delusion. Well, I've lost you. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for Bible study tonight and pray that you help us, help our homes. Lord, I pray that parents would watch out what their children are bringing in, especially if they're in the public schools or something, and what's just completely accepted by all the other children, even the way they dress, what they listen to, what they watch, what video games they play, what they see on their smartphones, and what books are popular, magazines. Some of them are corrupted with very satanic doctrine. And so, God, give grace to the parents and to those in this room who are going to become parents. Help grandparents to take a stand in their home. That in their home, they're going to hear about Christ when those grandkids come over. And, Lord, we pray for the power of the Word, the meal, to be cast into the pots of our homes again. And even maybe tonight we got to get rid of some stuff. And we think of those in Acts 19 who burned books of curious arts, astrology and psychics and all those other things that offend you, that are cheap substitutes for finding wisdom and direction when they could go directly to God. And so, Lord, help us in this warfare, we pray. And may the meal of God's Word come into all of our lives and get the poison out so we could really live again in the Spirit of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, a lot to pray for now. Line by line through this prayer list. Very important. A lot of stuff coming up in prayer. You are dismissed.